Romans chapter 12. Yes, we read in 2 Corinthians 10. But I want us to look here this morning at the renewed mind. 2 Corinthians 10 was read to you this morning, spoke of the stronghold that Satan wants to keep and use. And that stronghold is how you think. That's why we're to cast down imaginations and every high thing that's exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring in the captivity, every thought, to the obedience of Christ. Here in Romans 12, 1 and 2, we want to look at the renewed mind. The renewed mind. I'd like for you to read this with me, these verses, okay? I'll let you sit down right where you are. If you know it by heart, quote it, okay? But let's read it together, all right? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that Thou art God, and You're able to give to us the understanding that we need to understand correctly Your truth. So we're dependent on to You, Lord, today to teach us. Teach us, Lord, today. And, Lord, may we from our hearts really say unto You, by Your grace we will do it. We pray that this may be true of every heart that's here today, that You'll meet the need of every life for Your honor and glory. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We just was reminded of the sacrifice that Jesus made in our behalf. And He presented His body willingly. And His blood was shed in our behalf, that we might be set free from the penalty of sin for all eternity, and make provision for us that we can live together free from sin forever. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? Amen? It really is. When we were in Poland, we saw some of the extremes of the depravity of man when we visited Auschwitz-Birkenau death camps. It's unbelievable. I can't go into details. It's unreal. When we were in Cambodia, we learned of the killing fields and also the prison in which they put the Khmer people and take little ones by their feet, handle them by their ankles, and smash their heads against the concrete walls, killing them. Those atrocities are gone. Who would ever think of doing such a thing? That is the depravity of man. We have a Savior that makes a difference. Instead of hatred, love, and wanting to have the power of control, it's love and willingness to serve and be a help to one another. But here, if this is going to be true in our lives, we've got to have the right thought processes. Amen? That's right. There's an old saying that goes, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What controls your thought processes is what you are. And that's why we need to give our thought processes over to God and allow Him the control, so that we can be an instrument that is meet and sanctified for the Master's use and equipped for every good work. We see here, first of all, in Romans 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, he wants us a living sacrifice, not a dead one. When I was pastoring in Cortland, Ohio, do you know where Cortland, Ohio is? It's right near Warren, Ohio. You know where Warren, Ohio is? It's not too far from Youngstown, Ohio, the area I grew up in. Well, that was my first pastor, is Warren in Cortland, Ohio. One of our members of our church had a mother that lived over here in Pennsylvania. And she lived in one of these old homes that had the steam radiators. Anybody live in a house like that? All right. Well, she wanted to do what God wanted her to be. But Satan misled her by her thoughts. When she read Romans 12, 1, that to present your body a living sacrifice, she thought it was literally she had to die. And so she jacked up the thermostat to its highest degree, get the steam cooking on that radiator, and laid bare over that radiator and literally cooked to death. You see, Satan uses Scripture and twists it to get us to do what? Destroy ourselves. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, we know the last part of it because we quote a lot. Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? Life. And have it what? More abundantly. But what's the first part of that say? The first part of that verse says, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan is out to destroy you. He wants to kill and destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your joy. He wants to steal it. And he wants to take your life if possible. So that you have no means of serving God whatsoever. Now how does he do that? He'll even use twist Scripture to get us to do the wrong thing. He did that to Jesus when he was tempting him in the wilderness. When he was after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. We get hungry if we go more than 6 hours. And anyway, he said, if you be the Son of God, what? Command these stones to be made bread. Jesus says, it's written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan then what? He took him to the high pinnacle of the temple, on the temple. And he said, now, cast yourself down. Jump off. For it is written, he quotes from Psalm 91, it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, to bear thee up in their hands, with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. He says, go ahead, jump off. The angels will take care of you. He quoted Scripture. Now, if we listen to Satan and reason that way, then we feel that we could jump off any high precipice, whether it's a cliff, whether it's a building, or whatever it is, and figure that the angel will take care of us and nothing will happen to us. But God has already established the law of gravity. And Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt not put the Lord thy God to the test. Okay? It's just like the fellow is saying, talking to a man in a hotel one day, and they were on, I think, the fifth or sixth floor. And he says, I'm free, I can do anything I please. Well, the guy says you are. Okay. And then he says, if I want to jump out this window, I can jump. The guy says, okay. You jump. But the moment you jump, you're no longer free. Because you're going to be dashed to the pavement below. And your life be taken. And many of us get in that realm where we think we can do our thing, our way, the way we want to do it, and there'll be no consequences because we have that freedom. And Satan deludes us even thinking that even as Christians, we have freedom to do as we please. Soul liberty, right? Yes, we have soul liberty, but it's liberty to obey. Not disobey His word, but to trust and find the joy and peace and satisfaction in living that He came to give. And it's only by having a right relationship and a right mind in our relationship with Him of how we think. And so that's why verse 2 goes on and says, and be not conformed to this world. To have the renewed mind, we have to have the right purpose. And the purpose is not to be conformed to the world around you. And that means thinking and acting the same way, the same thing as they do. Okay? Thinking and acting and doing things that they do. Not having the same mindset. And as a true Christian in Jesus Christ, we can't take on that mindset and that thought and think like they think. We have something to guide us in our thinking. That's the Word of God. Amen? That's right. Now, but instead of being conformed to the world, we're not to be, but next thing in the purpose is that we are being transformed. Notice there in verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that word transformed there is the same word that is used on the mount before the disciples when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He is transformed before His disciples. Okay? And they had the privilege of seeing His glory as the brightness of the light in the sun. And it's the same thing that took place with Moses on Mount Sinai. When he was in the presence of God, there was a transformation took place in his body. And as he came back to his people, his face shone so brightly they couldn't look on him. Why? Because he was in the presence of God. Now, here is interpretation according to me now, I'm going to say. All right? Get this straight. Don't take this dogmatically. But I believe that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had that same covering as a clothing for their bodies. Because we're told there in Genesis that God came to walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. But this particular time that we have at that account, they had sinned and were hiding. And they tried to cover. They lost what they had. And they realized they were naked. Why didn't they realize they were naked before? Because God gave them a covering. They had the privilege of being in the presence of God in the garden. And there was a transformation of that body that glowed. There was a light about them. Well, we can just go on in man's reasoning, but it'll be man's reasoning, okay? And I'm giving you some man's reasoning, but anyway, we find that there were some actual happenings that did physically, weren't there, huh? Coming back. There's God's purpose as far as not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that transformation takes place, as we mentioned in Sunday school this morning, Romans 8, 28 and 29, right? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the call according to His purpose. And He's using the all things that He might conform us to the image of Christ. Make that transformation that we will shine forth the qualities that are in Jesus Christ will be in your life and mine as we shine forth in this world. And it's possible here yet today. He wouldn't put it here in the Bible if it weren't possible. Amen? And so, as we go on, we see that there's also an element here that must be involved in this purpose, and it's the Holy Spirit of God. And we find in Titus chapter 3, and in chapter 3 of Titus, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The renewing comes through the Holy Spirit of God. The renewing of minds comes through the Holy Spirit of God. He's the agent here. And in fact, He's the agent in our salvation. The Holy Spirit of God takes the Word of God and performs the miracle of the new birth in the life of the individual. Jesus referred to that in John chapter 3, did He not? And being born of the Spirit. And so the first thing we see here in the renewed mind is the purpose. Not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind and through the means of the Holy Spirit of God. The second thing we see here is the procedure, the process. And the process is the Word of God and the Spirit of God must be included. There are two actions that work together to renew your mind. An outside action, which is the Word of God, and an inside action, which is the Holy Spirit. We also see that there are two attitudes to be included or involved. The one is the serious mind, and back in Titus 2, starting with verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God, even our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us." All right? Now, it says in those verses that the grace of God that brings salvation not only saves us, but teaches us how to live. Teaching us that we should live what? Godly, soberly, righteously, God in this present world. Here's that soberly, okay? The sober mind. Serious mind, the single mind. The Apostle Paul speaks of the single-mindedness in the book of Philippians. And there in chapter 2 he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who had a single mind. His purpose for coming was to go to the cross, to give His life a ransom for many, that we might be delivered from not only the power of sin, but the penalty of sin. Penalty and power of sin. And delivered from the presence of sin for all eternity." Now, most of us know what it means to be delivered from the penalty of sin. All right? We are experiencing on a daily basis His deliverance from the power of sin if we are trusting Him day by day, or else we're succumbing to that sin day by day. But then one day we will be delivered from the presence of sin. And what glory that will be. And we can sing, "Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me. When by His grace I shall look on His face, that will be glory for me." And oh, what a privilege and joy it truly is. And we have that single mind, the mind of Christ, the single-mindedness. So we have the serious mind, and that's an ongoing thing. That's a transform man in his how he thinks and so forth. We say that the submissive mind is be transformed, and that's the action done to you. The serious mind is an ongoing thing, and it comes through the Word of God, okay? And the submissive mind is the transform action being done to you by the Spirit of God. Then we see a third thing here in this verses. We see as we are to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's the purpose. By the renewing of your mind. Okay? That's the process. And then there's a third thing here that you may prove. That you may prove the will of God. Okay? And so, we're to have the renewed mind. There's the purpose. There's the process. And it's to prove. And we prove, as it says here, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and sometimes perfect. Right? Sometimes we don't think the Word of God actually fits us. We say, "I can't do that. Oh, God would never want me to do a thing like that. I thought that way years ago. God would never want me to be a preacher because I can't preach. I can't speak. I can't express myself. I can't. And I still can't. But I've been learning and still learning that He can." And you know what, beloved? What God's been teaching me over these years, and I try to encourage others all around the world as we go and say, listen, God gives us everything we need to accomplish His will. He gives us everything we need to accomplish His will. The problem is when we take that which God provides for our needs, which He promises He'll supply what? All our need. And we put it on our wants instead of our need. Because we have had the mindset, Satan has done a masterful job of getting us to think what our wants are really our needs. And so we direct our focus and energies and attention on getting our wants, which we think are needs. And we miss out on having the real needs really met in our life. It's kind of sad to visit a relative who professes to be saved but has a miserable life. And that miserable life becomes because he has taken his wants and made them his needs, and that's what he pursues so hard and desperately to achieve. And he constantly is finding everything he does has a distasteful element to it. And he's so pessimistic. It's really not a great joy to be around him. But But he needs help and love as well. It's a challenge for me to love him as Jesus loves him and try to be a help to him. It's a little hard to get him to listen because he's pretty set. And he's right. He's always right. I think he's, I guess I'm just accusing, but he thinks he's more right than God does. It's hard to say, isn't it? But some of us can get that way, and that's how far it can go. And we just have a miserable existence, missing out on God's best, that abundant life that God wants us to really have and enjoy. Do you have that life today? Okay? And he wants us to prove the will of God. And that will, we learn that we are learning that the will of God is good as we obey his word. Okay? It's good. It's acceptable. And it's perfect. God is always good. And when our son took his life, God was still good, even in our grief. Hard for us to look beyond the circumstances and see a God. And the verses God gave me during those times, gave us, was Psalm 27:13-14, where David said, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Why? In the circumstances, times we don't see any purpose in it. We don't see any good in it. And we didn't know any purpose why our son would ever done that. He had everything to live for. He is within 5 years of being the top doctor in the United States in medical knowledge when he took his life. You know why? He loved medicine. God had given him a photographic memory. And he remembered everything. He told me, Dad, he says, these doctors that specialize are lazy. Why? Because they want to just focus on one little part of medicine instead of the whole thing. He wanted to know it all. But the thing was, when he got out of the will of God, he lost his peace. And he was trying to use medicine to give him the joy he once had. And it didn't work. It came to the place where life wasn't worth living. And so, he bailed out of life. His way. Instead of trusting, coming back and humbling himself to surrender to God's way. And there isn't one of us that can find the joy in living that you're really looking for, leaving Jesus Christ out of your life and disobeying God's word. You've got to have that personal way. You've got to be in that rightful place in our life relationship. If he is not, if we've put in our wants, our desires, our things in his place where it should be his desire, his wants, and fulfilling that, we are never fully satisfied. We live in a retirement community in Florida, and those people can't understand why we're supposed to be retired and why we aren't out playing all the time like they are. Okay, when we're there, they wonder why we're not playing bingo, why we're not doing this, why we're not doing all that stuff, everything. We said, we don't have time for that. That's not our joy anyway. Our joy is serving Him. Satan has deluded Christian people. And I say this kindly. Satan has deluded Christian people. It was true in the churches I pastored through the years. I pastored 40 years. With the idea of retirement. And even preachers and missionaries get deluded with this same idea. When they come to retirement, then those retirement years are their years. They can do as they please. Beloved, I don't find anywhere in God's Word it says that a believer can retire from serving God. Now, our occupation may change and all these different things. Okay? Doesn't mean that God doesn't give us enjoyable moments to see the glory of His creation and all that sort of thing. He gives us the desires of our hearts, and the desire of our hearts are to please Him. Okay? The psalmist says that. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And as we are serving the Lord, I got after my prayer letter back, 3 months ago, 4 months ago? I guess it was the December prayer letter. Yeah, it was that one that went out in December. You got it. We were expressing about we're going to Taiwan. And on the way to Taiwan, we'd be spending Christmas with our family in Hawaii. And the fellow that sent an email to me, he had been out there, and he just loved our son-in-law and his ministry out there in Hawaii. They went out as church planters and planted a church and so forth. And so we had the privilege of being there, and then their oldest child, it's a son, who's married, they were back to Hawaii with their first child. And we had a chance to be with our great-granddaughter and our grandson and his wife and had a wonderful time. And so then on our way return trip from, and that was on the way
Taiwan.
And so on our way back from Taiwan, we had another week with our daughter and son-in-law. Well, our grandson wasn't there. And that kind of helped us to get over jet lag that far anyway. And then we went from Honolulu to San Diego and spent a week with my oldest brother and his wife, whose health is not bad. I mean, is not good. And we haven't had a chance to see them in years. But God gave us the privilege of the flight that we had scheduled, and we went right through San Diego. And so we had it scheduled before I realized that was taking place. And so when I really woke up to the fact, hey, that same flight going through San Diego, I asked my daughter-in-law, who was our travel agent, she does an excellent job, would you contact and find out if we could stay a week in San Diego? And if it costs more money, I'll pay it myself. She got it, and she did it. She says, because it was within 24 hours, there's no change in as far as the cost. So we had the blessed privilege of being with my brother and sister-in-law for a week, which we hadn't had a chance because of our schedules and so forth, and they can't travel anymore. So, and we got this email from a former member of one of my churches. And he says, you know something? I want to do just like you. As I see God blessing you and giving you all these joys of the family and all these different things that's going on in your life, I want that in my life. You see, he saw that we weren't missing out on anything. We were getting added blessings an opportunity of being with family. And even on this trip, we have opportunity to see family as we are on our way to Alberta, Canada. All right? But the goal isn't just to spend all our time, months at a time, with our kids. They enjoy seeing us also serving the Lord and the joy that's theirs. And our grandkids, a granddaughter, when she was 3 years old, she wanted to know where grandma and grandpa were on the map. And so mom and dad, they get out of the globe and they get and show their daughter where grandma and grandpa are on the map. And you know what? She's learning geography around the world. Now she's in third grade and she's flabbergasted that their kids don't know where Taiwan is. She says, well, where's Taiwan? She says, it's right off the coast of China. Where's China? Don't even know where China is. And she just thinks that's just... But because Grandma and Grandpa, and she prays for us every day. Isn't that something? From the three times she was 3 years old, she's been praying for Grandma and Grandpa every day. I thank God that I can have a part in training my grandkids to have a life relationship with God where they pray for others and want to be a minister to others. And she came to Christ at an early age. Well, anyway, our time is gone. But here, we prove that the will of God is good. We prove that God's will is livable. And we learn to love it. The psalmist in Psalm 119 spoke concerning the Word of God. Oh, how love I the Word of God. It is my meditation all the day. Through thy word thou hast made me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy word has taught me. Hey, are there benefits in the Word of God and knowing it? You know, thank God your pastor is helping you memorize the Word of God. Because it's through the Word of God. That's where your real treasures are. And in keeping it and obeying it and following it. And we find that repentance is a change of mind. And when we have our minds are renewed, our lives are renewed. And when our minds are renewed, we train our minds to think biblically. And the more we enjoy the benefits of a changed life. Oh, I wouldn't trade what God has given me for all the wealth in all the world. Money, wealth, things can't give me what my Lord gives me every day. And don't have to have things. People think that the one that has the most things is the winner. But that's stuff. And you know what happens? We become slaves to our possessions. Actually enslaved to our possessions instead of free. Thank God, this morning I'm free. Because He's made me free. And I'm His. Everything I have is His. And when my computer and all that was stolen in Cambodia, which you learned about, that wasn't mine, it was His. He is blessed. He's still providing. Yes, He made me work a little harder, but I needed it. And He's a wonderful God, a wonderful Savior. I love Him. I want to trust Him every day. And I trust you're doing the same. And if you're here this morning, you don't know the joy of relationship with Jesus Christ. Don't leave here today without finding out, okay? You can have it too. You can have what I've got. And I find as I share what I got, I don't lose a thing. I gain. And you know what we've done? We've gained friends and riches worldwide of precious souls that are valuable for the glory of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and truth. And may we cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the true knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. For then we'll have a renewed mind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.